All right, class, I'll give you two of the most powerful chapters, I believe, about ministry. They're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We left off our last time talking about it, and I want to deal with these two chapters. I think they will give you a sight of apostolic ministry like nothing else. We start off the first few verses. I want to pick up today in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 2, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's important that we minister enough in the spirit so people's faith won't be in you, but in the power of God, what they see flowing through you. That is so important. So it says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are matured. Now, matured, when you get a word, see the word perfect, matter of fact, I call it matured and it's perfect. Them that are perfect, let me look at it a minute. Perfect. Finish. Full age. Full grown, a daughter, full age, matured, man. That's somebody who have grown to in the spirit enough to understand the things of God. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to know it. So we got the wisdom of this world, and the princes of this world can imitate the real power. But he said in verse 7, class, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, it's given to you to know the mystery. I think in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, talking about praying in an unknown tongue, how being the Spirit, you speak to God and speak his mystery. So when you're praying in the Spirit about your ministry, you're tapping into mysteries. Now, class, we got the word revelation. We have the word mysteries. Those two dynamics, as I teach you here now, are very important in ministry. That means when you talk about revelation and you're talking about mysteries, that means it will keep your reliance on God. In other words, you see, a lot of ministry is trying to survive on history, what Daniel did, what the Hebrew boys did, what Moses did. That's history. But in this class, in this apostolic setting, I want you to be able to function in the kingdom mysteries. You know, in Matthew 13, 11 and 12, it says, it's been given for you to know the mystery. And it tell you what happened when you know the mystery. More will be added to you. This is what happened to me over the years. By letting the Holy Spirit give me the mystery, abundance kept being added on to my ministry. Not because I'm so great, but because I'm so inadequate. See, your weakness is God's strength. If you think you're so strong within yourself, you're weak, but you have to yield. So that's why some of y'all are real smart, and that's why the Holy Ghost is going to have to work with you because you're so smart. But God have chosen the foolish thing of the world to confine the wise. So here we go now. In verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to know it. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That's where I stop. And verse 7. Even the hidden wisdom in the mystery and the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. This is a loaded verse unto our glory. Listen to that. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Come on, class. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, you're not going to get there if you don't understand the fivefold ministry gift. The inadequacy that we have, the insufficiency we have, on our own to try to function in the spirit realm. You cannot function in the spirit realm by intellect, by psychology, by science. Okay? We can't do it. By your intellect? No. It's in the spirit. You have to, you know, you're maturing, but you come before God as a little child all the time. See? You had to come before God as a little child. 48 years. Every time I go in prayer, I'm a little child. Go before him. Home myself. I ain't gonna be going telling God about, you know, I preach in Madison Square, God. Who got me there? Who told me, stop preaching it? Who told me this, your time up? To walk in the office and tell Dr. Dowler, the Lord have told me I'm not coming next year, my time up. Who gonna do that? As preaching with Creflo Dowler, preaching in Madison Square, who gonna do that normally? You're not. But you always got to be sensitive to the spirit. I've had ministers try to promote me. Ministers wanted to put me on their board. Soon as they asked me, the Lord said, no, they're putting you under them. I got somewhere else for you to go. So I turn them down. So many things in the history of my ministry that as a little country boy in those big cities with those large ministries, I felt my inadequacies. I had a man one time who had been in ministry a long time. He's still alive. That was a move of the spirit in a large church. And a lot of stuff was going on. The Spirit of God was doing a lot of things. I had ministered. That minister walked up to me, and I was lost in the spirit, put his finger in my face, and told me, I know who you are. Now, I reflect on that right now in your midst. And that man knew, for one thing, I didn't know, that I was the apostle of finances. He knew it because he was a real strong financial teacher. But he recognized that anointing on me. I know who you are. And I also recognized that he was saying, you are to take us to another level in finances. He's saying, I taught it. I know the ins and outs of it. But you have a special call for this ministry. Man's still alive today. It's all my insufficiency, inadequacies, and inability, my weakness. See, God says, when you're weak, he'll make you strong. And you go around saying, I'm weak, I don't know nothing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about knowing your insufficiency without the Holy Spirit feeding you from heaven. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. In ministry, always thank God for the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. The fivefold ministry gifts is of the Spirit. Everything is of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is here to bring everything to our remembrance. All right, so now, in this chapter, the Lord laid ministry out for me. Verse 6 again, I know I was in verse 7. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, now verse 9 is one of my pinpoints of ministry. We're talking about the apostolic ministry. The Lord has taken us to two chapters that bespeak the apostolic ministry. The apostle wrote them by divine anointing on the apostolic. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God had prepared for them that love him. So you see, it's not physical, it's not mental, it's not educational, it's not science-wise, it's not intellectual-wise. See, we always remember, you're called in a realm called the Spirit. Are you following me? And you're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Very important. And so you push all the other agendas on the side, all your other abilities on the side. I'm about to give you a word now. Yield. W-E, I don't know how to spell it. I-L-D, yield. Here's another word coming up in my spirit. Flowing. Come on, class. Yielding. Flowing. Another word coming up in my spirit that I want you to have in ministry. Focusing. Focus on Him. Whether it's Galatians chapter 6, 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, Hebrews 12, 2, who the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. So you're going to have some crosses. You're going to have some shame. But you just focus on him. You're going to have to deal with people who think they're in the spirit, but they're still in their senses. And so they're going to read chapter 9, verse 14 to you and try to prove that they're in the spirit. But the Bible said, try the spirit by the spirit. Now, any one of y'all can walk up to me and tell me the Lord said something to you. I'll listen to you for a minute. I'll know whether the Lord said it or not through that discernment, through that authority. So not many people come up to me saying nothing. Not many people jump up my meeting and start probably saying, thus said the Lord. They don't do it. Why? Because the spirit is aware of the fact that I've trained myself to yield to the anointing, and I'm not going to let it go on. Okay? You want to have, see, my spiritual father had that type of blanket on his ministry. He'd come out, but people won't act up in his ministry. Why? He's wearing such a heavy, Kenneth Hagin Sr. He's wearing such a heavy anointing, they couldn't act up because listen, it's an old country saying, he could read their mail in the spirit. There should be a certain uneasiness of people when they're around you because they know you can read their mail in the spirit. And I'm releasing that anointing on you now. At the level where you are, take it a little bit by little bit. You got to keep forward, you keep growing. But it's written, verse 9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Our job is to get those things out, get the people prepared where they can receive those things. So how? Verse 10. That's your baby. But God has what? Revealed them unto us by what? By who? By his spirit. Notice this, class. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. I thank this grace that the Lord is putting on you in these two chapters. For what man knows the things of a man, saith the spirit of man which is in him? Question. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, verse 12, that we might know the things, listen to this, that are freely given to us of God. I thank this chapter. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the word which man wisdom teaches, the eloquent, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, sometime awkward, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See. Now, I'm gonna make a statement. I don't know no man or woman in the world have seen more spiritual moments in their life than myself. I mean where the anointing is on you like a drenching rain. Even now, class, something on where you at now is coming off on you now. I feel it going all through my arm. And that's why he told me over in the school that the anointing come on me and the student can taste That anointing. That anointing is traveling through the line wherever you are right now. It's so powerful. It's so dynamic. The 14th verse, but the natural man receives not things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, neither can he know them, because they are spirits of the Son. That's clear, Claire. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man, because the Spirit doing the judging. And then verse 16 of the chapter. You need to go over this chapter over and over again. For who have known the mind of the Lord that may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now go to 2 Corinthians again, the 12th chapter. I'm going to try to show you something in that chapter by direction of the Holy Spirit. Here's another apostolic chapter that carries the glory of God. And if you study them, you'll see how to operate. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, the glory. Get that, class. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. Visions and revelation. Visions and revelation. Vision and revelation. You're going to have a vision, class. My vision is three parts: change the life of people with the word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world, and making everybody who sat under me a covenant winner. Those three aspects of my vision I've been following for years and years. One I followed for years, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. All of a sudden it came to me, and I'm not computer or internet savvy. I don't know much about it. I use it some now, because it's more convenient for me to go to these different translations and get it quicker. But it dawned on me how, by the Holy Ghost, to get witnessing going outside the door of the church. Now we got 3,000 something people saved in time. But that's part of the vision. That's part of equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. He does it all the time, you know. And I've seen many people's lives change with the word of God. I've seen hellions become saints by the word of God, not by me. So visions and revelation will come to you. You'll see things ahead of time. You'll know things. Revelation, like the revelation of money coming, shocked the whole body of Christ. Shocked me too, still shocking me. And then he told me, he said, it will never die out. Just the other day, he spoke a word to me. Living beyond money. I got to teach that. Living beyond money. What that mean, Apostle? That mean money below you. That mean you walking on money. That mean money obeying you. That mean you ain't got no debt. That means you ain't got no need not met. And I have the Prosperity Revival coming up in November. I have to teach on a scale that's going to shake up ministry. I've shook them up before, though. It's not the first time. And it's just like God. It's actually God shaking them up. All right. Now, he goes on to tell you in the second verse, the spirit realm. He says, because in the spirit, a lot of time, you're going to come so far out of self, you're not going to recognize yourself. And that's the way it worked. I've been there many times. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. That's moments in your ministry. You're not going to be able to tell, but God knows. Says one caught up in the third heaven. Now he actually talking about himself. But he got in a realm in the spirit that was beyond his comprehension in the natural. Third verse said, I knew such a man. Another said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, here's what the Lord bring me here. in the 17th chapter of Matthew, the Mount of Transfiguration. You'll have to go there sometime in the spirit, where the glory of Jesus be so bright and you begin to see things in the other world. When you walk with him long enough, he'll show you things you can't explain. And some things you don't tell nobody. There's things in my life I haven't told nobody. They couldn't handle it. They'd probably call me a false prophet. So until he give you the right to release it, sometime you never would get a chance to release it. But that's a place you can get. So he says here, of such a one, the fifth is I glory, for yet myself I will not glory, but in my infirmity. Oh my God. Verse 5. Here's a man glorying in his infirmities, and the greatest apostle that ever walked the face of the earth. He glory in his infirmity. Now, what that mean? What that mean? That doesn't mean he's stupid. But he's in a realm that is unexhaustible. A realm that has no bottom in it and no top in it. A realm that is flowing, that can take you places and show you things that you can't explain. Apostle Paul wasn't stupid. He was a highly educated man. He wasn't stupid. He went to school under Gamaliel. But he counted all loss when he came into this next other realm, the realm of God, that is higher than any institution that exists. So he says, of such a one would I glory, the one who don't fully understand everything. Yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmities. So he's talking about two men in one. For though I would desire the glory, oh yeah, that flesh, that's the glory, I should not be a fool, verse 5. Verse 5, verse 5. Verse 6. That's some of it right there. You say, well, I'd be so embarrassed. I said, hell no. I'm not embarrassed. I'm doing what God tells me. See, when you got to keep, God let that happen sometimes. You got to keep all your tax. I don't even worry about that. I just go on. For though I would desire the glory, I should not be a fool. Verse 6. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, as any man should think of me above that which he seeming me to be, or that he hears of me. See, in other words, you never want people to think more highly of you than you ought to think. Because you're just a servant, no matter what you accomplish. You know, a man who have flown in full portion of jets, oh my God, get on your knee. Gee, I don't know about no jet. I don't know how I got them in the natural. You understand what I'm saying? It's just God. Just God showing himself strong. I mean, if you break a record, I'm the first minister to have a Falcon 900 in ministry. It's one of the largest planes in the world. It got 3 engines. Huh? I mean, it's like I stumbled up on it. And look, God gave me a preview some 13 years or more before I got it. He let me sit on one. Never imaginated that God was showing me a glimpse of my ministry. My daughter went in the restroom, came back out there, me and my wife were sitting there. Dr. Farber took us over there to look at it. My daughter said, Daddy, that restroom in this plane is bigger than a house. I said, yeah. But and no intention, no invention, no revelation that God was pre-showing me. He might be showing you a ministry as you listen to me. Ooh. See, God got a way of doing things. All right? So he says, unless I should be exalted, verse 7, above measure through the abundance of revelation. Oh, abundance of revelation. Oh, I see. Infirmities is a key factor to abundance of revelation. Ooh, class, see that? See, your inadequacies, your inabilities in the spirit world. He talked about the spirit. You can't bring that stuff in here. You can't bring no education in here. You can't bring no worldly wisdom up in here. You got another wisdom up in here. You see, class, the Lord's showing us that. Can't bring that in here. Because they're gonna, what they're going to do? They're going to stalemate you. They're going to stop you. They're going to secrete you into weakness. Okay? So here, now, many arguments about this, and I don't really deal with it. He says, unless I shall be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a throne in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I really don't know what that is. All I know is that he could not over-exalt himself. He had to stay and know that it was God doing it. And then verse 9. But he said he prayed 3 times, Lord, for his departure. But then verse 9 is where you want to be. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, I just got this a few days ago, class. Real strong in my spirit. That you must remain to be in the position of being a grace attractor. Attracting the grace of God. The grace of God always must be on you. On your ministry. And when you back up that grace, you're talking about the cross. You're talking about the blood. You're talking about the resurrection. You're talking that grace, all of that. That's why I love the scripture, Hebrews 4:16. Said, I saw the other day blood running from the throne down to the altar. Wake up, class. Blood. I saw blood. Like a set of steps. And the throne was there, and then that blood started coming down that steps, step by step. And the way it was flowing to, and where the benefit will come, was to the altar. So if I'm not at the altar, I don't get it. You follow me? So the throne and the altar is connected by the blood of Jesus. You will not, because you probably won't find that in no book. And Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, we can find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Keep that in your ministry. So he said to Paul here in the ninth verse, as we studied these two apostolic chapters, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That don't even sound right. See, if you're not in tune in the spirit, God talk awkward and backwards. Now, why do he do that? Everything in the spirit world has to be operated by faith. So what he does, talk where you got to believe him. You can't fully understand God in your intellect because that ain't nothing but flesh. But awkward moments and awkward time will come. Don't panic. Praise God, for you're about to walk into another level of the Spirit. So Paul, he told Paul, and made perfect weakness. More gladly, Paul said, okay, I join you. More gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Not why. He gloried in his infirmities. Look, I mean, verse 9. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. That I can get out the way and let the power flow. Are you seeing this, class? This is so important. So he said in verse 10, he repeated, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, and persecution. 1, 2, 3, 4. Write them down. Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution. In distress for Christ's sake. Look what he says now at the end of verse 10. Say it with me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And he goes on in that chapter. I become a fool in glory. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind. Now he talks about the very chiefest of apostles. Do I be nothing? Now he's a chief apostle, knowing that without God and without God's direction, he is nothing. Then he tells you, verse 12, truly the signs of an apostle was wrought among you in all patience. Look at the signs. Here we get the signs of an apostle now. And wonders and mighty deeds. So signs, wonders, and mighty deeds are part of the apostolic ministry, apostolic anointing, apostolic, listen, because here you come, overseeing. In other words, if you overseeing by an apostle, these anointing supposed to come upon you. That's the way the Lord designed for the pastor, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist to be able to receive, because the signs of an apostle was wrought among you in all patience, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. What are the signs of an apostle? Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds coming out of his infirmities and his inadequacies. You have to understand that. Now, for what is it when you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now, here's a scripture that nobody talk about. What happened, Paul asked them to forgive him because he didn't make them sow like they should to sow and give to his ministry like they should have given to him. Now, my ministry don't have that as an apostle. The people follow me as giving all the time. And it's because of that prophetic word and apostolic setting of money coming. And so by that, I've had many people who are out of debt, and they couldn't get it just by me preaching to them. See, it's back to, I want you to write this down, back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and Isaiah 45, 1 through 3. You study those. You study how to apply, how to approach, and how to make your application of an anointing that will get you complete out of debt. See, I didn't talk to you much about it, Claire, but you got to learn how to sow. Don't write nobody no testimony, don't put nothing in it. Don't send nobody no card with all them little precious words, don't put nothing in it. The seed must take the lead in your financial production. I did it, that's the way it is. See? Maybe one of these times in school I teach on the seed that the ministers can know how to live out of this financial rat race that is in this system. You're either going to be in the financial rat race or you're going to be in financial revelation. I choose that you be in financial revelation. So don't be hesitant in your sowing. The Apostle Paul says here, for what, verse 13, what is it when you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. See, God read over there, see everything but that revelation. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parent, but the parent for the children. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundant I love you, the less I be loved. Now, somebody should have caught that. Somebody would read that and say, oh, all right, he don't want nothing. And then, no, stupid, he just told you the revelation, but he can't tell it to you outright. So he just go on the same way. And so he told you one thing now. Now you say, I'm not going to be burdened to you. You ought to have the revelation now that it's not a burden. It's a breakthrough. Whoa! It's not a burden. It's a breakthrough. But he can't tell you directly. So you got to catch it in the spirit. But that's a financial breakthrough revelation there. He told him I didn't burden you. See, because you notice when I receive an offering, I don't read a lot of scripture and tell the people about all in that. No, because that's religious. And you're begging. You see what I'm saying? Let the Lord speak to people and let them get that breakthrough. Because if I talk you out of money, then you're not gonna get no breakthrough. You're just gonna get more burdensome because you didn't give money that the Lord didn't tell you to give. You see the point? Now that's apostolic. The average minister couldn't talk about that. But I can. See, because that's my area. That's where God put me at. See, he's doing the same thing with help. Now, I want people to be nutrition minded. Now, because I've studied 15 to 20 years about it, and I came back to a 15-year stop I made that I couldn't fully understand it, so I had to go around all the mother streets, and don't eat this, don't do that, exercise, don't do that. But the man forte is having nutrient in your body, not just a vitamin D and a vitamin C, but non-nutrients and minerals. So that's what I do twice a day now. So I brought it to the body of Christ that they should get a hold of those nutrients. If you look at my broadcast, you'll see it. Now, class, I want you all to follow instruction. I want all of you all to be successful. I love you with the love of God. You always have an audience with me being in this school. I don't want you to be a crybaby, but I don't want you to be a die baby either. You got to come out of them diapers and know how to walk by faith and not by sight. That's the aim of this school. The instructors are all connected to me as their apostle. I bless your families, your walk of life. Some of y'all might be in business. I bless your businesses. Don't forget the revelation that the Apostle Paul, the last revelation I shared with you, that your arm cannot be twisted into the manifestation of prosperity. It has to be a revelation to you. And it all starts with the seed. Tithe, sowing the seed consistently. He said he'll give you, I don't know how I got over here for somebody, might be having financial. He said, I'll give you a seed. The Lord is the seed giver in 2 Corinthians. Is it 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians? It might be 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You see in the 8th chapter where, if it's not 1st or 2nd, where the grace of sowing, I want it to be on every student in this ministry. Sow your seed. Pay your tithe. Sow your seed. Expect a revolution in your finances. Because I'm speaking it over you right now. You won't struggle all your life trying to make a living. The living is already made if you follow the pattern and the procedure that God given you now, apostolic. Sow your seed. Read Genesis 12. 1-3, and then you get to the anointing of financing, Isaiah 45, 1-3. You have no reason to be a failure. You have no reason to miss out on your life. Grand days lies ahead. Go forth. Trust God. Believe God. Walk in the anointing. Walk in these things you've heard. Don't rebel. Walk in revelation. Receive. Receive. Restoration. Revival. Redemption come to your life like never before. You didn't come here by accident. God sent you here. I'm praying for you. I see you having the best. Go forth. Win. Do great things for God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.